This is Rod Peterson on Demand. Now,
it's kind of a funny story. I was on a stationary bike this morning watching the World Junior coverage. I'm like, we should have Rich Sutter as our World Juniors insider. Boom, send. I sent it to Rich.
How about that?
Not Clark. So Rich wrote me back, I'm in! When Christmas rolls around, everybody's going to be locked down. We're all going to be watching the World Juniors, and we'll all convene here every morning to talk about the game the night before and tee up the next night's game.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, everybody. The RP Show is in the house. Welcome to a Flame Tech Football Friday. Let's go. I'm excited to talk football, Dupes. How about you?
Yeah, me too.
Good.
Yeah.
We're live on Facebook in Hour 1, simulcasting on Game Plus TV and Facebook Live in Hour 2. Don't mind me as I look down and share. I'm anticipating some breaking news as the program goes along, and I'll get to that in a moment. I'm not as prepared as I'd like to be. As normal.
Yeah.
Okay, I still have the Quick Six show topics, and we'll get to that in a moment. I'm not as prepared because so far this morning, I've been on the radio in Winnipeg, TSN 1290, then Ottawa, TSN 1200, got a nice workout in, got a steam, picked up Lynch, and here we are.
Wow.
But I haven't had as much time to go through all the highlights and the sports and everything, but it is a big CFL day. I guess when I say I'm not as prepared as I would be, I haven't been checking Twitter. Have they announced the CFL schedule yet? We would know.
I haven't seen it. But yeah. Also, since we've been in here for the pre-show meeting, I haven't been on my phone.
Exactly.
Which is a bit of a problem.
Well, we did get our meetings in.
We did.
Oh, and I was interviewed by Alan the intern, the Asian sensation as well. Watch for that for a journalism newspaper soon, coming to you soon. I can tell you this, going on these radio stations across the country, both TSN and Sportsnet in the independents, and talking CFL during Grey Cup, just does your body good. Just does your heart good. And that's why I was digging through my stack of bunny hugs. And I thought, what do I have CFL-ish to wear? Oh, I got that 2017 Grey Cup hoodie. I'm going to put it on. And that's what I'm wearing. Our listeners can't see it, but our viewers certainly can. Isn't it gorgeous?
Oh, it's great.
But if I die of heat exhaustion or heat stroke... This is a warm mother.
Got to realize it's 75 to 80 degrees under the lights.
In a good day, yes.
Yeah.
And this thing is built for minus 40. God bless you, Adidas. This is built to play in a Grey Cup in the winter. Yeah. So anyway, that's why I'm wearing it. And anyways, it was kind of apropos, I guess, being on Ottawa radio this morning. All Sports Radio, because there's a big Ottawa flavor to the show today. And listen up. We got Sherrod Baltimore of the Red Blacks going to join us. And Jordan Zlamislik. I'll say it again. Jordan Zlamislik. How about the closed captioners at Game Plus are going to have a nervous breakdown? He is a 15, 16-year-old Steven Spielberg. And he's doing documentaries on the Red Blacks is where he started. But he has been writing me and saying, can you help me out with my projects and stuff? And I'm, of course, saying, yeah, because guys helped me out when I was his age. This is how NFL films started, right?
Yeah.
It was a young guy and his dad.
Yeah.
Jordan could be that for the CFL. And a little further, last night before Thursday Night Football, I don't know if you saw it, but they had the Road to the Grey Cup on TSN from last year. It was so good. So it's not like TSN and the CFL can't do these things, but what the hell's wrong with having a compliment to it? If the kid's doing great work.
The more the better.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
And showcase the great league and the great country. I love it.
Just checking along. Dave Duncan Hanney's watching a Medicine Hat. He says, yay, Football Friday. Rod's dance card has been full. We should be tipping a beverage with you guys this Grey Cup weekend. Well, you still can as part of CFL Sim.
That's
which
right.
We'll get to in a minute. Colin in Ottawa says, I have that sweatshirt, Rod. I go out with that in minus 10 weather. And indeed, it keeps you toasty and warm. It is a winter wear, believe me. It looks kind of good on screen today. And Tori Gurley will be with us, our NFL insider. That's another thing. I wanted to go through all the Week 11 NFL matchups, and I just haven't had time today. So I'll leave that to Tori and maybe you.
Yeah.
Your Titans had a bye last week, too, did they not?
No. Well, they played on Thursday, so it felt like a bye.
Oh, right.
It's been a long time coming. Thursday's over a week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It'd be 13 days between games.
And John Frenzy's here, and he's ready to go.
Not 13.
Have a donut, Lynch.
I have my own.
You already had one? Of course you did. Have another one. Let's go to the Quick Six show topics, please. It is a CFL buff. I haven't shared the show yet. I guess I should do that. A CFL All-Decade team was announced last night, and Bo Levi Mitchell headlines it. I don't mind saying I voted for him. Were we not? How long has this been going on? 6 weeks?
Yeah.
Two months?
Yeah.
I voted for him. And so I'm happy for Bo. And Ricky Ray was the number two quarterback, second team, if you will. John Huffnagel was named the first team coach. Dave Dickinson, the second team coach. Did you look at the rosters?
Yeah, yeah.
Give me your thoughts on the All-Decade team while I share the show, okay, to the various groups, and then we'll go on to point two.
That one stood out to me. I know Calgary's, you know, been dominant for a while now. It's been their decade. But, yeah, to have John Huffnagel and then Dave Dickinson as the two coaches, I'd like to see that be spread around a little bit. But I'm trying to think.
Who else would I pick?
Yeah. And I don't know that there's been anybody else that's been that good for a whole, you know, for the decade for the most part. So that's really interesting. The quarterback thing is fine. And then it was good to see Nick Lewis's name on there when he got picked for the All-Decade team. So I liked seeing that because he's a friend of the show. So it was nice to see Nick get his name called.
I put this in my commentary, which is aired already on Cat Country 98 FM in Assiniboia. The one part of the defense that really stood out to me was Charleston Hughes was named to the number one All-Decade team and Willie Jefferson to the number two All-Decade team. And I think they have the same amount of Grey Cups of the decade, if that sounds right. Maybe Chucky's got one more. But Charleston feels he's the Rodney Dangerfield of the CFL. And when he was in the bunker here a while back, I said, Charleston, this stuff doesn't matter. You know it doesn't matter, right? And he looked at me like I was crazy. Wants to be named every team, get every award. I don't personally believe it matters.
Yeah.
If it's keeping you up at night, then it doesn't matter because Chucky's already got the Hall of Fame career. But for his sake, he was named to the number one team, so I was happy about that. But I love me some Willie Jefferson, too.
And I think it's just, for Charleston Hughes, he's been doing it longer, hasn't he, than Willie Jefferson?
Yep.
So,
yep.
That's part of it. More sustained success throughout the whole decade. Bigger body of work, and that's why he gets number one and Willie gets number two. If it was, you know, 2015 to 2025, Willie might be number one in that kind of 10-year span, but it's just he came on later in the decade.
Yeah. Go down to the bottom of your screen, folks, and click share if you want to settle in on a good CFL football discussion today on Flame Tech Football Friday, the Friday of Grey Cup week, if you don't mind. Jamie is watching in Halifax. He says, I'm curious of which Grey Cup was Dupes and RP's favorite all time. We covered that on like Monday, Tuesday. I think we can both agree that the 2013 Grey Cup here was the best for both of us.
Yeah.
And then for Grey Cups that don't involve the Rough Riders, for you it was the 95 Grey Cup, Calgary, Baltimore here. For me it was the 01 Grey Cup in Montreal, between the Stampeders and the Blue Bombers, for a variety of reasons, but I had mostly good friends on both sides. Jim Daly and George Cortez for the Stamps, plus players. Greg Marshall for the Bombers. So either way, I knew a friend was going to win a ring, their first in some of those cases. And I was watching SportsCenter, and they had their top 10 all-time Grey Cup plays. And there was a play in that 0-1 Grey Cup. I will be honest, it's a bit of a flip here because it's depressing to watch this stuff.
Yeah.
Do you get that?
It is.
Do you get that feeling?
I get it. Because we should be playing. There should be a game this weekend. You know, we should be in the thick of it. And the sim has been fantastic. And it's been a wonderful kind of compliment to no season and all the rest. But you go back and think, we've been doing this every week for like 22 weeks.
Went very fast, in my opinion.
Went really, really fast. It didn't feel like a season, right?
No.
So as much as we think that the esports and stuff can kind of replace it, it doesn't at the same scale. It just doesn't.
No, nor should it.
Yeah.
But the whole idea of what we're doing with the esports and the CFL sim is simply entertainment and for our own fun. That's the whole
thing. That's number one. Oh, yeah.
Because the night of the brawl between the Stamps and the Riders, whenever that was, I think it was August, I had that TSN executive write me and say, Rod, thank you for keeping the CFL top of mind and doing what you're doing. I'm like, we're just doing this for fun, man.
We can post.
There's no goal behind it.
We can post content right through the end of the rest of the calendar year on it. But maybe we need a top moments, because that Sim brawl was unbelievable. Remember the 19 interception game and how we were just in
turnover
stitches?
Atlantic,
turnover Atlantic in stitches the whole game. So there was a lot of really good moments throughout the season. Might be worth a countdown.
Top 10 Sim moments. Hey, the way sports is going, TSN might be running the top 10 Sim moments for the season.
It might.
Boy, we're getting hung up on point one, which is fine. This is the warm-up, by the way, here on the RP Show. Point two, it was a great Thursday night football game. Seahawks outlasting the Cardinals 28-21. Did you see it?
Yep.
At the end, did you think that there was going to be another Hail Mary?
You're just thinking, right? When a guy does it enough, and it's trust. Trust now in Kyler Murray. Trust in DeAndre Hopkins. You never count them out. But a good football game in Seattle. I think Seattle needed that one more than Arizona did.
Our friend in Alberta, Vulcan, Alberta, Jack writes in and says he's calling it now. Nick Arbuckle will win the Sim Grey Cup tomorrow as Ottawa takes on Saskatchewan. I'm going to the poll question right now. Now that you say that, Jack, it is for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center. Who will win the inaugural CFL Sim Grey Cup? As we sit here now, 85% on Twitter saying the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, 15% saying Ottawa. And I think they just posted it recently to Facebook, so we might not have a sample size yet. Oh, it's a little more. What's that? Similar. Yeah. 82% on Facebook. Point three, more Grey Cup memories / talk / the Sim. I guess we've been covering that. Nelson, our VP of Sim Events, writes in and says, any good Jim Daly stories? He seems like a quiet character publicly. Jim Daly is just a football guy, period. You met one, you met them all. He's a nice guy. He's a funny guy. He's a very, well, sensitive guy, but aren't they all?
Yeah.
Haven't we learned that? But Lynch, you were around Daly, eh?
Great guy, loved him.
Great guy, loved him. Lynch says, maybe we'll talk about that. Last night at the virtual CFL Awards, CFL Sim Awards held at Stats, Cocktails, and Dreams, the most outstanding, virtually, the most outstanding player, Bo Levi Mitchell.
Hey.
Very big night for Bo Levi last night. Double winner, all-decade quarterback and CFL Sim Player of the Year. Good buddy of mine, that's right. You know Ben Hebert?
Yeah.
Meat?
Yeah.
He's the lead, right, on Team Cooey?
Yeah, leader the second.
He called me or DM'd me on Twitter. He goes, I golf with Bo all summer. You guys need to kiss and make up. I wrote him
so
back.
So they're talking about it.
Of course. What do you think?
Yeah.
I know. I wrote him back and I said, the feud is good for business. Not getting over it anytime soon. Most outstanding Canadian at the Sim Awards last night, virtual.
Sinopoli.
Brad Sinopoli. Most outstanding special teams player. The Ticats rookie kicker, Matthew White.
Whoa.
Great find by the Ticats. Most outstanding defensive player.
Nick Marshall.
Willie Jefferson.
Oh, Marshall wasn't nominated, was he?
Yeah. Big Willie style. And the coach of the year, Paul LaPolice, rallying his team from an 0-7 start. He didn't think much of the Sim, as he told me. And now they've rallied and they're in the Grey Cup. So John in Winnipeg is watching. John, liking that hoodie, Rod. Well, this bunny hug. If you missed it earlier, it's from the 2017 Grey Cup in Ottawa. And it's one of my prized possessions in my closet. I really love every time I put it on. Do you know sometimes when you put on clothes, you just feel...
Yeah.
This is one of them. Point four, if you care, how the CFL needs to change. Oh, I might wait for Lynch to come in on this one. I was on the radio in Ottawa, as I said. And can I just say this? J.R. Roddenberg, beauty, he's the host of the program director of the station. J.R. Roddenberg and Sean Simpson, Simmer, yep. Former NHLer, are on the show. They're hosting me. And we're talking about the CFL. And it's what I've been saying all week. It's kind of confusing. Schedule's going to be coming out. Stabs are being announced. All looks positive, doesn't it? Can't guarantee to the players that there's going to be a season. And Simpson said to me, Simmer, who's been on this show multiple times, he goes, Rod, listen, and he not only played in the NHL, but he worked in the front office of the Capitals for a while and at least one or two teams. Stick with me. He goes, Rod, if the TV revenue covers the entire salary cap and labor's your number one cost in pro sports, can you please tell me how they're losing so much money? I said, don't look at me for that answer. I'm not the one that needs to be answering that. And incidentally, I don't answer for the CFL anymore, nor the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. But who is asking these questions? More importantly, who is going to answer these questions? Because all summer and fall, we thought we're going to be positive. This league's going to change. It's going to be more efficient business model. All the presidents said it. And here we are, Grey Cup week, no changes promised, coaching staffs in most cases unchanged, minor tweaks in some places. Now they have taken pay cuts, some of them, but we don't see a massive overall change here that was promised. And I love Randy Ambrosi. He was on this show and he's been great to us, talking about being positive, and we need to be optimistic. And it's kind of dawned on me since Tuesday, I was optimistic and positive that there would be a 2020 season. I trusted you guys. How did that work out? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So I'm sorry, but as far as a schedule coming out related to a vaccine and whether there's going to be crowds, I can't. I'll believe it when I see it. That's my take.
Unfortunately, it's the same too with the businesses. I mean, they want to keep the business moving. Get your season ticket revenues in early so it gives you more flexibility to, you know, allocate money. Get those sponsorship dollars allocated early. TV revenue's not coming in if there's no games to broadcast.
Boom.
Right? So that's not happening. In terms of the salary cap, that's one number. Payroll is a different number. Bonuses, there's things like that that doesn't exactly go to the cap. There's other things within there. Health insurance, all that stuff that you pay out, maybe potentially. You know, there's things other than just the salary that get paid out that don't exactly count for the cap. But with the sponsorships, you know, you collected all that money for last season, or at least allocated it. So businesses, you know, that need advertising, they're not doing this because they just want to donate to the league. They want to promote their business. And then all of a sudden, they're not getting the promotion and they want to put those dollars elsewhere. But it's kind of late because you've missed out on the whole year's worth of events and activities. So now a business might say, well, same thing. Fool me once, right? Fool me twice. They might say, well, you tell me when you're playing, but I'm going to allocate my money where I know I'm going to get some publicity and some reach and some marketing. And if there's money left when you decide to play, then you can have my leftover revenue.
Great point. Last one, CHL E-Memorial Cup was announced. We've run out of time, but we got to spend time on that. We love esports. We've been doing it all year, and now the Canadian Hockey League's getting on board. Larry in Medicine Hat says, what is Lynch's view of Ambrosi's interview with Rod? I was a little disappointed. Lynch, think about that, okay? When we come back, Sherrod Baltimore and Jordan Zlomislik. Both from Ottawa, one playing for the Red Blacks. I almost said Rednecks. Wouldn't that be a great team name?
Oh, yeah, it would.
The Saskatchewan Rednecks. And from the Prairie Mobile text line, hey, Rod, big fan here down in Wilmington, North Carolina, wondering how to pronounce your last name. Thanks. What are you laughing at? You don't believe we have fans in North Carolina?
Well,
it's Peterson. It looks like Pedersen, Lynch.
Yeah.
So thank you for watching from the 919 in Wilmington, North Carolina, and you pronounce it Peterson. Thank you. It's Danish. We'll be back with the Ottawa guys in a minute. It's the RP Show, and you're watching on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live for Sud's full-service car wash at rodpeterson.com.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. It is a Flame Tech Football Friday. John Frenzy here in the bunker, and we'll hear from him in a moment. But first, before we bring on Sherrod Baltimore of the Ottawa Red Blacks and filmmaker, if I may, Jordan Zlamislik, here is a 60-second clip from Jordan's four-part series on Ottawa football featuring Sherrod. Roll that, guys, if you don't mind. Show what we're doing. The journey from the 613. So there's an idea what Jordan's put together, and bring those guys in, gentlemen, if you don't mind. Jordan Zlamislik and Sherrod Baltimore. Good day, fellas. Good to see you. Sherrod, I feel like I know you because of the wonderful documentary TSN did on you. And Jordan, I feel like I know you through DMing each other, but I haven't officially met either of you, gentlemen. I appreciate the time. And Jordan, can I start with you? I look at that video and I look at unprecedented access from the Red Blacks for what you're doing, buy-in from them. You must be pretty excited about this.
Yeah, definitely helped.
Okay, we're going to back out on that, and we're going to bring in Sherrod and see if we can get the audio working. Sherrod, you're part of this, if you don't mind. Your thoughts on working with Jordan and the finished project, your thoughts?
Man, the product was awesome. You know what I'm saying? Jordan is 15 years old. First of all, I'd like to thank Jordan and Coach John. Coach John, he's from St. Matt's High School. He's a great guy in the community, you know, and me working out with the kids in the community and working out with Isaiah, my trainer. He's a great guy as well. He was a coach for the St. Matt's High School football team, and he also does training, like speed training and stuff like that. So what I did was work out in the community. You know, I train with Isaiah, and he gets me ready for the season. He's a great guy, gets me fast, gets my body strong. And the kids work out there as well. And I'm more proud of the community of Ottawa, the kids, the parents, you know, the coaches, just to see the hard work and stuff they're putting in, the grinding. You know, they have opportunities and stars in Ottawa. Football stars, you know, is growing D1, big D1 schools, NFL, CFL, you know what I'm saying? And that's what I'm most proud of. And I'm also proud of Jordan being 15, putting things together like that, man. It's not easy to do that. It was a lot of hard work, so I'm really proud of him.
It is a ton of hard work, and as a matter of fact, you said it. I didn't. I forgot to say. He's a 15-year-old Steven Spielberg, and it's something that the CFL needs. Yeah, TSN can do theirs. They're TSN, and they did that production on you. So, but I think that the CFL needs a guy like Jordan, too. And before we go any further, I don't know, when did that air? Was it the 2017 Grey Cup in Ottawa, or was it just last year, Sherrod, the feature they did on you and your story?
Oh, that was just this past year.
This past year. Okay, so, well, that was unbelievable, too. And what I got out of that is that you're a survivor, so no matter what the CFL is going through right now, you will survive, and you'll be back to thrive. But how are you making out, just before we bring Jordan back in, how are you making out as a CFL player right now that hasn't been paid in a year? How you doing?
Well, then, first of all, they are making payments. You know, it is something. It's not what a lot of people want. I'm gonna start with saying that. But man, I've been making out great, man. It's been great. The first things first. You know, I've been working out, staying in shape, ready for next season. I've been training. I've been conditioning. You know, I lift three times a week at the stadium with some of my teammates, Abdul, you know, obviously because of COVID, the group size is very small, 2 to 3 guys, and you have to keep your distance and whatnot. They do a great job of keeping us on track with that. So I'm staying in shape. As well as I'm working, I have a job at Amtech. It's an electrician company in Ottawa, so if anybody needs some electricity done, you know, hit up Amtech. They got some great people there. I'm learning new things. Anya and James Bernard, you know, the guys, the owners there, they've been teaching me great things, man. They've been doing great things. It's something that I've never done. This is my probably like my first job I really ever had, obviously, in my life. So learning new things, it's trades. I'm an ambassador for BB Collection. It's a clothing line for women that came out with the new men's collection. So, you know, I got the hat on right now. So some good people, as well as I'm an ambassador for Squish Cookies. It's great cookies, big quarter pound cookies. Like, it's a great thing. Hey, so good, man. They got flavors. You know, you drop them at night. You can check my day on my Instagram. Those two on my Instagram. As well as I got a new puppy, you know. I got an American Bully. He's an XL. He's big. So, man, I've just been taking it one day at a time. Been enjoying this thing, man. Just doing my thing. And staying in the community, working out as well. You know, we just finished up the documentary. That took a lot of time. As well as working out, I also train kids in the community of Ottawa. You know, just hands-on, just practicing on, working on my coaching. You know, I was coaching before I came to the CFL. So I'm still giving back to the community hands-on as well. Anything the kids need. You know, the kids are the future. That's who control the future. So, yeah, man, I've just been starting to stay busy one day at a time. I mean, I'm the driver at the electrician. I don't want to say I'm getting my hands on dirty. You know what I'm saying? I just deliver the material, and I'm learning new things slowly but surely. But yeah, man, it's been great. Just my time's just been going fast, so I'm trying to stay busy.
Good for you. I'm very proud of you. And I wear a bracelet that says one day at a time. So trust me, I get it. So let's bring Jordan in now. I appreciate it. There he is, the CFL Steven Spielberg. And Sherrod just dropped that you are 15 years old, Jordan. How's the audio working now? Give us a test up there.
Can you guys hear me?
It's perfect. What did you do? What did you change?
I just had to refresh my feed, I guess.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so Sherrod, he should be your agent. He just told us all about you, Jordan. But talk about this documentary, how this came about, and the access that you got from the Red Blacks is amazing. Tell us about your series.
Well, obviously, it started out just as like an idea. I guess Sherrod and I were on a conversation during the pandemic, just talking about ways that we could kind of, I guess, work on something together, because I'm a junior reporter with the Red Blacks, and we talked a lot during the season last year, and without a CFL season this year, it was kind of tough to do an interview that related to the CFL. So we thought of a idea. I know Sherrod's been very intact in the community here in Ottawa with Coach Jean Guillaume, who was in the documentary as well. And we thought of an idea where we could put Ottawa on the spotlight. And there's a lot of great guys here in the city of Ottawa that are giving back to the community. There's a lot of guys that are talented as well. There's a lot of guys in the NFL. We see Neville Gallimore playing against Chase Claypool a couple weeks ago. And they also have Ely Ankiw, another Ottawa product, on the Cowboys as well. So there's a lot of guys from Ottawa, and they're not necessarily given a big look compared to guys in the States, like maybe Sherrod could have had in the States with his time at Maryland and just all that. And here in Ottawa, we felt like it was needed to put something together. And like Sherrod mentioned, the youth is the future. And Coach Jean told me that it's a good idea to have me doing it, because I'm a part of the youth. So I know these guys, and all the guys in the documentary as well, I know them all, and they're all kind of my age and just on the come up as well. So it was definitely an exciting documentary to put out.
From our viewers, one, Joe Lazito's watching in New York. He says, Sherrod had me at quarter pound cookies. So hang on. Go give Sherrod a follow on Instagram. I feel you're going to have a rush of orders on those, by the way. But we're all mesmerized by the video too, Justin or Jordan. And from a sheer filmmaking nerd question, let me ask you this. Your shots of downtown and Parliament, was that you on a drone? Like, how did you put that together?
Honestly, it wasn't even my film. It was actually just something I found on YouTube. I reached out to the guy that filmed it, and he said it was okay to use it. I did that with a few other things. I used some TSN footage. I credited TSN at the end of the documentary. And just asking like different kinds of people that filmed a bunch of stuff, just asking them if I could use it, because obviously there's no CFL season this year. I would have definitely put some footage of Sherrod in from this year if I had the opportunity to, but it's obviously tough with that. But just getting footage from other people, and I did a bunch of filming at like training that Sherrod was doing, and like a bunch of trainings that guys do here in Ottawa. Coach Jean Guillaume, the coach at St. Matthews here in Ottawa, he does something every Sunday, and I went for probably a month straight just going to each session, filming and doing interviews.
How did you two come together? Sherrod, let me ask you.
Well,
how we come together?
Yeah.
It was just a natural thing, you know, Jordan, usually like after we have practice or a game, you know, getting this reporting thing, and, you know, they ask you, they want to come do interviews after practice. So we, you know, kind of came mutually, give me interviews and ask me, you know, check up on me, how you doing on your birthday and all that. You know, it just became a natural thing, a relationship that turned into something further, you know what I'm saying, till today off the field. You know what I'm saying? He got some goals and visions in his head. He young. He got a good mind. And we just put our ideas together. You know what I'm saying? And I reach out to him. What you think about this? Like, bro, we can do that. You know what I'm saying? And, oh, what you think? He hit me back. And one thing about Jordan, he's going to always, always be on his grind. He hits you up all the time. He's going to try to make sure everything is planned ahead. You know what I'm saying? Just he has a good man mentality. Really, mentally, he may be like 30, you know? But obviously, I'm proud of him. I'm really, really, really proud of him. You know what I'm saying? He's kind of like family.
So, Jordan, what's next? What do you see in the future? Where do you see this going?
Well, obviously the goal is maybe to be on TSN, maybe to be on ESPN one day. And obviously it's a long way to go still. And right now, after the documentary came out, I was also working on another documentary during that one about one of Sherrod's best friends, Jonathan Rose, from the Ottawa Red Blacks. I know he's picked off a few of your Riders quarterbacks in the day, so he's a
He also ran over a referee, so don't hang on. Yeah. I know the guy.
Yeah, he's a big time defensive back. So I worked on a documentary. It's coming out, should be next week, the 29th of November, and just been working on a bunch of different projects. And on my birthday, when I turn 16, December 1st, I'm dropping a website for my own kind of platform, JZ Media. You might have seen it on Instagram, Twitter. I've been doing a bunch of different videos for guys like Sherrod, like just highlight tapes and just putting something together for all these guys. And I'm excited to have it out there. I'm also been working on here in Ottawa with the documentary. I got to talk to a lot of guys on the come up as well, like in the game of football. And in the States, they have 247. They have Rivals, ESPN recruiting. And that's something with my website I'm going to start doing. I'm going to start writing articles about players in high school that are going to Division I level. Or there's a bunch of guys that are in Florida right now playing high school football from Ottawa. So I'm just going to start doing that and see where it leads me, really.
Awesome, man. JZ Media. Follow it on Instagram and all social media platforms. If we can just bring Sherrod in here, I want to say I appreciate the time and you're helping him out here, Sherrod. Again, thanks for all you've done for the CFL. Can't wait to see you on the field again soon because you're a joy to watch. Anything else you'd like the viewers to know before we let you go? Either one of you?
Well, nah, man, I appreciate y'all. You know, we in the community hands-on. We doing food drives, man. We doing everything in Ottawa. You know what I'm saying? To stay busy, keep the fans going. I can't wait till next season. I want to say that J. Rose did not run over no referee. So don't start doing rumors. He ain't do none of that.
Yeah.
Hey, I need to get a bobblehead. Hey, listen. I need to get a bobblehead up there too, man. I got to send one to you.
I'll put it right here. Trust me. And I was watching the game. Jordan, anything from you before we let you go?
Well, Sherrod mentioned everything that he does in the community here in Ottawa. And I'm just going to say this to Sherrod. Appreciate everything that he's been doing, and as well as Coach Jean Guillaume. I know Coach Jean is very thankful for Sherrod being in the community. And obviously in the NFL, they have the Walter Payton Man of the Year. I think Sherrod would have won it in the CFL for sure if they had that award.
Well, there's still time. We got various awards, so for sure. Guys, thank you. Have a great weekend. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you for having us on, for sure.
Our viewers are loving it. Our viewers are loving the interview with Jordan Zlamislik and Sherrod Baltimore. Carlos in Indianapolis says, strong contenders for rock star of the day. I feel like they'd both wear a rock star of the day hat, Frenzy.
Yeah, they're both great.
So listen, it is Friday of Grey Cup weekend. We're going to get into all of the CFL talk. NFL, too, if it comes up with John Frenzy. On the way as well, Tory Gurley today. It's a Flame Tech Football Friday. And you're watching on Facebook Live, Game Plus TV, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Be sure to give Sherrod Baltimore a follow on Instagram and JZ Media, too. A sports update. Russell Wilson threw two touchdown passes, and the Seattle Seahawks beat the Arizona Cardinals 28-21 in a major showdown for top spot in the NFC West last night. Seattle's now 7-3. Cards dropped to 6-4. Camille Viegas and Matt Wallace are 6-under and share the early lead in the PGA's RSM Classic in Georgia. Corey Connor and Roger Sloan are the top Canadians at 3-under. And Canada's Elena Sharp and Brooke Henderson are tied for 5th, 4 shots behind leader Sofia Popoff at the LPGA's Pelican Women's Championship in Florida. The Montreal Impact know exactly what they're up against as they head into their first round playoff game since their first playoff game since 2016. In order to move on from the play-in round to the top 8 in the East, the Impact will have to beat the New England Revolution tonight, something Montreal has only managed to do once in 4 outings this season. And the NBA free agent window opens tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern with more than 100 unrestricted free agents. Raptors star guard Fred VanVleet is set to become a restricted free agent, while big man Serge Ibaka and Marc Gasol will be unrestricted. The sports update for Ballers Rec Room that can handle all your food and fun needs. Visit their website, ballersrecroom.com. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. I'll get to all your questions in a second, but John Frenzy's been sitting here very patiently. His visits for Wheaton Kia. You can find them in North Regina at the corner of Albert and Avonhurst. Frenzy, where do you want to start on the CFL stuff this week?
Well, what we thought of Randy Ambrosi's speech, what he laid out there, and people asked me what I thought of it, and I said, well, I didn't think there was much difference from the first one, from last year. He says, we're going to go all out, we're working hard, we're trying hard. He did say at the end of the speech, so we're going to have schedule out pretty soon after we get everything settled. And that left me cold. Does that mean there's a schedule going to come out? If a schedule's coming out, it must mean that he's got a go-ahead from all 9 teams, right?
Well, of course.
But I just felt, really, I wasn't that confident. Again, I'm quite honest with you. I was quite frightened at what he's saying. I mean, they got to make it this year. We've talked about this before, right? They got to make it this year. They're the only football league of any prominence this year that didn't make it something, some kind of season during this bad fall season. A lot of conferences quit at the beginning of the season, weren't playing. Then during the season, there was so much pressure on, like the Big Ten, to play. They made a little schedule up and improvised and did it. They went out and did it. Now here, we didn't. So we were the only league of any major nation, major concept, that wasn't playing football last year. And we can't let that happen again this year. I have 2 years in a row. Otherwise, the league is gone, I feel.
Yeah, that's a pretty good little monologue right there. That's like a Lynch's last word.
What do you think of it?
Well, I said it off the start and you were listening.
Yeah.
There's just things that don't add up to me. And I want the CFL back as much as anybody. But if you we're going to sell season tickets and announce your staffs and put out a schedule, then you should be able to guarantee to the players there's going to be a season. I guess that is a virtual guarantee. But the players are sitting there saying, we want a yes or no. I don't really know where they're at. But when you say the CFL is the only conference or league that's not playing, that's not true. Because Canadian University football is not playing. Canadian Junior football is not playing. No organized football is playing in Canada. So I think, John,
yeah,
it's a bigger picture than just the CFL. Canadians need to realize how important the Canadian Football League is. And furthermore, I'm checking my social media here this morning, and I've just, if you go through my Twitter, which you won't because you're not on Twitter, but people are saying football's not that important. We're heading to more lockdowns. People are losing their businesses. Like, two things. People need to fight for the CFL like it's dying, and nobody really seems to be.
That's right. Very well put. That's absolutely right. Nobody should be dying. There should be somebody dying in each province, in each city, where there's
for the CFL.
For the team.
Just to clarify. Yes.
And there isn't. I'm sure there isn't.
I'd like to see a little
more. I don't have that
confidence. I'd like to see a little more urgency.
Yeah, a lot more urgency. I see a lot more. And I don't know what he meant by that. He's going to let this schedule out. You said to me that there was supposed to be a schedule out today.
That's the word.
And he said, but if we got the go-ahead, when I get the go-ahead, that was his way out. And we thought, oh, he hasn't got the go-ahead yet. In other words, it hasn't been confirmed with all the teams. It left me cold. And Randy really sort of leaves me cold. That's not fair to him. He's trying hard. He's a good guy, but doesn't have the ability to get the answers. Is that right? Am I being cruel?
No, you're being fair. You're being real.
Yeah.
But what answers do you want?
I want to know if the teams are all set to go, and then we can get the schedule out, and we can have a signing. I think most teams have several players from last year, believe it or not, still wanting to play with them. That's the impression I get. But another year of no football, they've got to go out and get a job. Got to go find a place to get a job and get a living. Feed some mouths. So definitely, if they don't
have... I'm sorry to interrupt. We got some great comments coming in here from Chris in Toronto, Chris Bird. To those who say the CFL is not important because businesses are struggling, newsflash, the CFL is a business and thousands earn a living from this business. There's that. Nelson, if you can put it up, our VP of Sim Events, the CFL is a business and those people could be on the verge of losing their jobs, their business and their jobs. Sports is a job as much as it is a game. Tired of that it doesn't matter narrative. And from Jason in Red Deer, he says, seems odd or sad to say, but I hardly missed or thought of the CFL at all unless it was being talked about. So there's two completely opposite opinions from three different people. Zach in Calgary says, well, Lynch is correct. They do need to have a job. But the one thing is, have you noticed this? Everybody's afraid to say anything.
Yeah, everybody's afraid to say
And I've got so many people that are DMing me saying, thank God you're saying it because I can't say it. I'd be in trouble if I said it.
Yeah.
Why would you be in trouble for saying, we need to be saved in the CFL?
I don't know. But we've tried to get something going in Regina right here last year. No luck at all from surprise people. Weren't interested. And there are people that have helped build this football team. So people seem to be backing off it. Yeah, they're afraid to do anything. I don't know what's going to happen to them if they do anything. But they seem to be afraid to do that. And then if we don't have it, oh, they'll be the first ones to cry. I know I can't walk down the street without two or three people talking to me who I don't know. And they let me know they want the CFL back. They loved it. And they tell me stories about loving the CFL. So it's there. People want it. I don't know what more we can do. I'm surprised that Larry Ambrosi hasn't brought... Oh, two or three prominent people, like the coach of last year's Grey Cup champions, Mike what?
Who, Paul LaPolice?
Paul LaPolice, no, from Winnipeg. Mike.
Oh, Mike O'Shea, sorry.
Mike O'Shea, with him to Winnipeg.
He's losing me.
But no.
You're killing it, Lynch.
And other people with him to Toronto to meet the powers that be, showing them some
guys. They don't care, Lynch. They don't care. I'm sorry. They don't care. Joe in New York says, people that say football isn't important are only thinking of the actual games. They're not thinking of all the people who make the entertainment industry run. From Jack in Alberta, I believe that the CFL needs to put players at the top of the list. From Wayne in Victoria, with what's happening in the world right now, I'd be surprised if the CFL plays next season. So... All those comments were great, and then Wayne's just very grounded in that. Okay, like, so you make a great point. Ambrosi should take Mike O'Shea to Capitol Hill, put him in front of Trudeau, and say, here's a guy that's the CFL's important. I'm talking to officials, Lynch, from every league. General managers, in a lot of cases, that are saying we're not being treated that we're that important. They're not complaining, but they're saying the government's telling us we're not a priority. I've got it from league presidents. I've got it from general managers. And who the hell am I to argue with what the government's stance is when we're talking about health, although I don't necessarily think it's about health anymore. I think it's about politics, money, and fear.
I think, as I said to you before, 2 months ago, the premiers of each province should go down in a group to see the minister in charge of sports in Ottawa, just to tell them how important it is to that province, to each province. But nobody's taken me up on that. So I guess.
Right. Oh, I know. I'm just saying, who's fighting for the CFL right now? That's all. We'll be back with viewer takeover in hour one. And coming up in hour two, our NFL insider, Tory Gurley. It's the RP Show on Game Plus. Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back, everybody. It is the viewer takeover segment. And I'm just clearing out some old messages here. Hang on. Jim Wagner writes in, says, happy virtual Grey Cup weekend, Team RP. You're all invited to my virtual Grey Cup party if you don't have tickets, and then virtually head to the Green Mile once the Riders win. That's from Jim. From Brady. Hey, Rod, I told everyone the Seahawks would win. Great all-around team effort. Carlos Dunlap came up big. Go Riders. Hopefully they'll win the virtual Grey Cup. That's tomorrow, 5:30 p.m. on this Facebook Live channel. Riders Red Blacks at 5:30 for the CFL Sim Supremacy. From the Toronto Sun yesterday, and Lynch has strong thoughts on this. Dan Barnes wrote it. The Atlantic Schooners are a work in progress, not a make-work project. But if the construction of a Halifax home stadium for a football team in waiting blurs those lines, that's an angle the Schooners are willing to sell. Where is it? On Tuesday, Schooners founding partner Gary Drummond, he's a Regina businessman, oil tycoon, and farmer, said the project has been on a pandemic pause, but a stadium as stimulus will be at the core of their strategy whenever they can go forward. Here's the quote from Drummer. We could do that for 2 years, play in Moncton, if we chose to, but certainly 1 year would be quite possible. I think we probably need nearly a year on the football operations side. That would be the minimum, really. He's talking about getting ready. Where the heck is it? He stressed that the most optimistic scenario is the one that allows a stable CFL to get back on the field in 2021, for stadium construction to begin in a timely fashion, and for the Schooners to play the 2022 season in a temporary location in Moncton or at St. Mary's University in Halifax. So what do you think of that?
Sounds great, doesn't it? Great speech by Gary. Gary's a great talker, as you know. I think they're serious. I think the guys really mean it, because I've heard that people down there love football. They're looking forward to the team coming from a different group of people you don't know. So there's still interest in football in London, in Halifax and Moncton, that area. And that sounds good, but he said it has to happen after we get the major portion of the Canadian Football League set to go and stable for years to come. And that's what we're waiting for. Trying to get there.
Is the CFL stable?
No. Not right now. I don't think it is.
What I took out of that article. We're waiting. We want a stable CFL to be part of. Right. I don't see that.
I wish
being
we
the
would
case.
Be able to talk to the people involved with the other teams in the league, the Bombers, the Ticats, the Stampeders, BC Lions, to see what's going on at their place, to see what their situation is. We're actually optimistic here in Regina. Bunch of guys have stuck with this team, want to play here. Our great quarterback, Cody LeFleur, wants to play with the Rough Riders.
Fajardo.
They want to play here, but they're waiting to hear when the situation has arrived where they can get a contract. Because they can get a contract and start negotiating some money. So it's just on hold, I guess. And that was what it was like for all last year.
We're going to continue this over into hour two. Mandy in Edmonton writes in, can you put it on the screen, guys? Randy sure isn't the guy to go to the government on behalf of the CFL for anything after he crapped the bed this year, initially asking for $150 million and not having answers to their questions. There was a good comment here from Nelson, our VP of Sim Events. Rick Lalisher was probably the best spoken of any of the team executives this week. He wasn't hoping for a vaccine. He mentioned the CFL does have multiple options that if it involves fans, their season ticket holders would be kept in the loop. That's what I was hoping to hear from Randy Ambrosi, was the multiple options scenario to play with fans or without fans. And we didn't hear that from Randy, but I guess they heard it from Rick Lalisher. I didn't watch their town hall. Next hour, Tory Gurley, more with Frenzy and Dupes. Hang on, see you on the other side on Game Plus TV, or stick through this break right here on Facebook Live. Let's make some noise!
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.